long time. 1978 is the first time I met Preacher Lawson. It's a long time ago. Open your Bibles tonight to the book of Luke, chapter number 7. Luke, chapter number 7. And while you're turning there tonight in the Word of God, I want to personally thank everyone in here that's brought my wife and family name before the Lord past couple of months. And God knows that we cherish your prayers. We really do. They mean so much. My wife's testified several times God is carrying us through this. And it's a day-by-day thing. But you know something? I still love him. I'm not angry at God at all. He knows everything. And I'm just glad that he loved me enough to save my soul. I'm going to be reading tonight from the book of Luke, chapter number 7. Begin reading in verse number 36. Read down several verses of Scripture. And I'm going to bring tonight what God's put upon my heart. I've tried to seek His face for tonight. And I know someone here this evening needs the Word of God. And one of the Pharisees desired Him, that is, speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. Behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. Now the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it. He spake within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner." Our Father, we're so grateful tonight for the infallible Word of God. I'm so thankful tonight for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, you know I love you. I don't love you like I should, but I want to. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you'd give us liberty, power, and unction in the Holy Ghost tonight to preach your precious word. And Lord, if you don't do that, we're just here and that's it. I pray, God, you'd use us tonight. I pray, Heavenly Father, that the Spirit of the living God tonight would move in conviction and save anyone here tonight that's lost. Draw us closer to you tonight, our Father, for we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I read these passages of Scripture and meditated upon them, and I kind of wondered within myself, why in the world would a Pharisee ask Jesus to come to his house and eat? Again, studying, reading the Bible, I went back to Luke chapter number 4. Now I want to lay a foundation and a thought tonight for the message that's upon my heart. I don't want to just jerk anything out, but I want us to know the setting that's here tonight in the Bible. In Luke chapter number 4, the Word of God tells us that Jesus came from Jordan, just been baptized of John the Baptist. And the Bible said this, that he was filled with the Spirit of God, filled with the Holy Ghost is what chapter number 4 says. And he was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted 40 days. Now keep this in mind. 40 days Jesus was in the wilderness. He didn't drink anything. He never ate anything. And after the 40 days, Satan tempted him. And Jesus always answered him with the Word of God. And after the 40 days, the Bible said this, that Jesus came back out in the power of the Spirit. Oh, I love that tonight. If there's anything tonight that every one of us need in this hour is the power of the Spirit of God. Amen. Jesus went about down into his hometown Nazareth and stood up in the synagogue and read the book of Isaiah. And he told them after he read that, said, "This day, this scripture is fulfilled." And they couldn't believe. I'm telling you, they were overwhelmed with the power and the authority by which the Lord Jesus Christ spake. And he went about doing miracles, blinded eyes opened, and all kinds of things taking place. And as a matter of fact, it's testified about John the Baptist after he was imprisoned and put in jail. He said this, that John called two of his disciples and said, "I want you to go to Jesus and ask him, are you the one, or should we seek for another?" And I love the context of the scripture. Please follow me here tonight, and don't turn away and turn a deaf ear. I want you to hear tonight what God has put upon my heart. When those two disciples came there to the Lord Jesus Christ, said, "John sent us," and they rehearsed before him and said, "He wants us to know, are you the one, or should we look for another?" And Jesus said nothing. He said this right here. The Bible said this, that Jesus turned around and in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits. Unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, "Go your way and tell John what things you have seen and heard. How that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." The Word of God tells us throughout these chapters that the fame of the Lord Jesus Christ went throughout all the region. He was talked about in every single household, in every single corner. Can you imagine what the religious leaders were whispering and saying about the Son of God? And they couldn't deny the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was evident, everything that he'd done. When he opened the blinded eyes, they knew that man was blind. When they had leprosy and they were cleansed, everybody knew they had leprosy because they had to separate themselves from everyone in the town. And if anybody came near, they had to cry out, "Unclean, unclean," so that nobody would approach them. Listen, if they were lame on their legs, the Son of God touched them and healed them, or spake the word and they walked again. Undeniable of the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. All the Pharisees knew it. The religious leaders of that day, they knew and heard about the fame of Jesus Christ. So perhaps, I don't know, perhaps we're not clear from the scripture that the Pharisee, in verse number 40, it tells us his name is Simon. He invited Jesus Christ into his house. Oh, listen, that's a great invitation. And I would to God that Jesus would just step in here right now. Oh, listen, when we go home tonight, I would to God that Jesus would just step in our house. I'm going to tell you, His presence makes all the difference. Our lives are empty and vain. They're nothing without Jesus Christ in it. And that day, Jesus walked into the house of a Pharisee. Oh, that Pharisee was too blind to even realize what's taking place in his own house. But yet he did invite him to sit down and eat. And he sat down to eat. The Bible said in our text tonight that a woman, and it clarifies that she's a sinner. Can I say this tonight? Would you let me say this evening? That there's not a one of us sitting here tonight that's not a sinner. I'm a sinner tonight, saved by the grace of God. That's all I am. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. It's Christ in you if you're saved by the grace of God, the hope of glory. And if you're sitting here tonight and you're not saved by the grace of God, you have absolutely no hope. It's hard to lose a loved one. But I'm going to tell you something. It would have broke my heart not knowing my boy didn't know Jesus Christ as his Savior, to walk away from that grave without any hope. But thanks be unto God tonight for the hope that Christ Jesus has put inside of us. And it's like that well of living water that flows from inside. Oh, in the quiet places when nobody's around and it's just you and him, and you talk to him and open up your heart, and he begins to pour his comfort inside of you and says, I'm carrying you. I'm taking care of you. Glory be to God, you can count on that. I came in here tonight and I said, Lord, I'm just trusting you. That's all I know to do. Some of my favorite verses of scripture, it says to trust in the Lord with all of thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Oh, listen, what time I am afraid, I will trust in him. The Bible said that Jesus sat down to meat. The Word of God tells us that a woman, I don't know what her sins were, it doesn't matter. The fact remains that she was a sinner. And so are you, but this is one of the most beautiful pictures I see in the Word of God. She couldn't even face him. She couldn't even look at him. She just knew that Jesus was in the house. And when she heard that Jesus was in the house, she found her way through there. I know there was others in the house also. The Word of God tells us a little further. I don't want to get ahead of myself. But she found herself. The Bible said this in our text, that the woman that was in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him. I don't believe for one second that she was literally standing there. Because if you look at the definition of that, it's simply talking about her position, where she stood. She didn't feel worthy to come to the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, so she went behind him and stood and knelt behind him and began to weep and cry. Listen, she was broken. She knew that moment that she was a sinner. January 1st, 1977, There was an old man of God standing in the pulpit preaching the word of God. And listen, I felt like I was the only one in the church. And the Spirit of God just zeroed in on me. And he began to preach the word of God. And he bared down on that Bible and preached the Bible just like it is to men just like we are, and never sugarcoated it. And that night, God's Holy Spirit zeroed in on me, and all of a sudden I realized I was a sinner. I was under the telescope of God. I didn't think nobody else was hardly in the house, though it was full of people, but in my soul, God was speaking to me. I thought that preacher never shut up and give an invitation. I couldn't wait. I was under so much conviction that I was trembling and shaking all over and clutching a hold of the bench, waiting for him to give the invitation. And finally the invitation came, and I went running down to the altar. Somebody said, listen, it's been going throughout the church here, and said, and they've laughed about it. I know it's all but a joke, but listen, I always come and sit on this side. My wife and family sitting over here. And I've been questioned about that. But I said, well, this is the spiritual side. As you walk in the church, you know, sheep on the right, goats on the left. Oh, should I take it back? There's a motive inside my heart of why I sat right over there. It's because it was on that side of the church at Bell's Chapel Baptist Church, January 1st, 1977, early Saturday morning, just past midnight, that I ran to the altar and fell on my face. And that's where I met Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And from that night, I stood up. I was a brand new person in Jesus Christ. I was a new man.
Amen.
September 21st, 1981. I met Preacher Lawson, 1978. We built the new building, moved everything down here. But he got up one Sunday and preached on Jonah. God been dealing with me to preach his word, and he preached on Jonah and said, you're going to run over here, you're going to run over there, you're going to run here or there, but everywhere you go, God's going to be there. Boy, God got a hold of my heart. I run to the altar right up here on this side of the church. Brother Barry came up behind me and put his arm around me and laid it on me and said, are you finally ready to surrender? I said, oh boy, yeah. My family had been through torture for a year and a half with me running from God, saying, not me, no way. God, you can't use me. It can't be me. And Brother Barry just, he copied me the other night. Powell High School. Graduated there because they wanted to get rid of me in 1974. I sure didn't earn it. I'd never give a book report openly to a class. I'd tell the teacher, I'm not standing up in front of nobody. You just give me a goose egg or a big fat zero. My wife calls it a zero without a rim. That's the way I feel sometimes. But God put his hand on me. Let me tell you something. I have never passed out a business card. I've never visited a church. I've never went anywhere and asked anybody to let me preach. God has always opened the door for me to preach his word. Always. God save me. This woman came up behind Jesus and began to weep and cry. And I'm going to tell you, she was broken. She was broken. Psalmist David got himself in trouble, and he said over in Psalms 51, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Oh God, thou wilt not despise. I'm going to tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ did not despise what she was doing to him, weeping on his feet and washing his feet with the tears that fell from her cheeks and taking her hair and drying the feet of his feet with her hair and then breaking an alabaster pot of ointment and anointing his feet. He didn't despise that. But there's another one sitting there. The Pharisee. And he said, this man, he didn't know who he was dealing with. If he were a prophet. Oh, he's a prophet of God. He's more than a prophet of God. He is the Son of a living God. He is God in flesh. He's my all in all. If he were a prophet, he would have known what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. Now, the Pharisee was right, but you see, the Pharisee had a total different heart. That's the difference here, is the heart of the woman that's a sinner and the heart of the Pharisee. He called her a sinner. But I want you to notice something in your Bible, that the Bible said this, that he spake within himself. He didn't verbally speak out loud. He didn't say it out loud. He said it in here. Inside of his own heart. And you see, the one that was sitting in his house, the Son of the living God, could hear everything his heart said. I love this in the Bible. Preacher quotes it all the time. I've quoted it many times, but I want to read it because it's something that I don't want to leave out. It said, for the word of God is quick. That means it's alive. Right. It's a living book. Right. This is the only book that I know that I can sit down and read it, and it reads me. Right. Tells me everything I am. And it cuts no corners. And said, it's quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than, look at this, any. None to be compared to it. No other book can be compared to it. Than any two-edged sword, piercing, even dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Notice it talks about a piercing of the sword. It talks about a dividing. That's a separation. A cutting away. Literally to rend something apart. And a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Jesus knew exactly what the Pharisee was saying. He was the living Word of God walking on the face of this earth. And in front of me tonight, the King James Bible, I have the inspired written Word. And you can believe with every jot and every tittle of this book. I don't want to leave this out, but neither, verse number 13, sometimes we omit it. I know we express about the power and the Word of God, but look at this. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. We're naked before him tonight. I'm not talking about the outward appearance. I'm not talking about these clothes that we're wearing. I'm talking about inside of us. He knows everything. Are you trying to hide something? You can hide something from me. You hide something from the preacher. You can hide something from anybody in this church, but you can't hide one thing from God. You might think you're sneaking behind somebody's back, but I want you to know tonight that God is watching your every move. Of all the people to invite Jesus in was a Pharisee. A Pharisee. He never had too much good to say about the Pharisees, did he? The book of Matthew, chapter number 23, the Lord Jesus Christ addressed the Pharisees, scribes, and hypocrites. The Pharisees and the scribes were the religious leaders. But he said this, "Woe unto the scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within are full of extortion and excess." Verse 27, he said, "For ye like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones, and all of uncleanness." Verse 28, he said, "Outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity." Jesus gave a parable in Luke chapter number 18. And he said there was two men that went up to pray. One was a Pharisee, the other a publican. And Jesus said this about the two men. He said that he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous. And look at this, despised others. Yeah. Well, you can tell by the way in the text we read in Luke chapter number 7, if this man were a prophet, he would know what manner of woman and who this is that toucheth him. He despised that woman. He didn't care about her. And these two went up into the synagogue to pray, and the Pharisee began to pray, and the Bible said this, that he stood and prayed thus with himself. He again didn't speak out loud. He just said, "God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican." And then he began to tell God how good he was. "I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess." And yet the Bible said this, that the publican stood afar off. He had his head down in this position. And the word of God said that he couldn't even as much as lift his eyes up to heaven, but he smote himself upon the breast and said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, have mercy to me, a sinner." And Jesus said that that man, not the Pharisee, but that man went down to his house righteous and justified more than the other. Now, I want us to see something tonight in the scripture. And by God's help, I won't be much longer, but I really want you to catch this tonight. This Pharisee spoke within himself and talking about Jesus and what manner of woman this was that touched him. And then Jesus replied to him and said, "Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And the Pharisee said, Master, say on. I thought that was kind of deceitful, because Jesus certainly wasn't his master. Now, if you get a Schofield Bible, you'll see in the heading of that that it says that it's the parable of the creditor and the two debtors. But nowhere do I find there where Jesus, when Jesus told a parable, it said, this parable spake he unto them. If I stand to be corrected, you come to me and show me different, and I'll be corrected. But I believe that this was a personal word for Simon the Pharisee. I'm going to say, God's got a special word for you, as he had a special word for me back in January 1st. It was rather December the 31st, 1976, when the word of God was being preached. That word was pounding to me. Didn't matter, nobody else. Pounding to me. And God's got a word to you tonight. He said, Master, say on. And he said, there's a certain creditor. Said there was two debtors, and one of them owed him 500 pence, the other in 50 pence. They had nothing to pay. I'm telling you, they were broke. Their pockets inside out. Not a penny in their pocket. And said, I cannot pay it. And listen, we have a debt to pay tonight, and we can't pay it. That's exactly why Jesus went to the cross. He paid our debt for us. I mean, every red cent of it. There's not one thing you have to do to have Christ tonight but to believe and to receive. That's it. It's a free gift of God. And the Bible said this, that the creditor, he frankly forgave them both. That means he graciously. Aren't you glad for grace tonight? I'm thankful for the grace of God. We were talking some of us here not long ago, and it's only by the grace of God that we're not already dead. If I'd have kept going gun barrel straight the way I was living, and listen, God knows the way I was living, I'd be dead and burning in hell tonight. But I'm glad for the grace of God. And then Jesus asked Simon a question. Or Jesus asked him a question, said, which one of them will love him most? That's what Jesus asked Simon. And he just kind of, well, I suppose the one that he forgave the most. And Jesus complimented him about it and said, thou hast rightly judged. Amen. And then Jesus done something remarkable. He turned and focused his eyes upon the sinner woman and didn't take them off, and spake to Simon. He didn't even look at Simon when he talked. He spake to the sinner and talked to Simon. He said, seest thou this woman? Why, sure, he had done seen her and judged her. Listen, I don't have any rocks to throw tonight, do you? You got anything in your house, in your heart tonight, or anything that maybe you shouldn't be doing, and you'd like to put up on here for a screen for everybody to look at? I don't want that. I know you don't either. You can tell by how quiet it is. We all got bones in our closet. We all got skeletons there. Every single one of us. I may have said this before, but if I did, then you'll hear it a second time. Big John, my father-in-law. I'm going to tell you something. I always thought that they only made one of John, but I believe I married one awfully similar to John Whitaker. Had a radio broadcast, and Shelley and I'd go up, and I think on Saturday nights or one night of the week, and we'd clean the radio station, and John done it trade out to have his broadcast, and we met a fella about high floors going up the steps and down, and he introduced himself, and Shelley said, "Hi, my name is Shelley Lee. I'm John Whitaker's daughter." That was the worst thing she could have said to him. First thing he started doing was tell us how much he didn't sin. "I don't lust after your wife. I don't covet. I don't do this." And listen, he was a kind of a hefty fella. And Shelley looked at him and said, "Well, gluttony's a sin. I like to fell through the floor. If it had been a door, it would have been exit stage right." That man started shaking all over and said, "Well, I've got a glandular problem." I thought within myself, that glandular problem's every time your elbow bends, your mouth flies open. Amen. Ain't nobody lives perfect. There was only one person that's ever lived perfect in this world, and that was Jesus Christ. I find no fault in him. None. Pilate said it. I say it. I can't even think how many years is that I've been saved tonight, 1977 to 2023. It'll soon be my spiritual birthday. I've been saved a long time. And he has never forsaken me. I've turned my back on him many a time and walked in a different direction than I should, or maybe let my heart get cold, but all the time he stood by me. He said, "You see this woman? I entered thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto you," or say unto thee, "her sins, which are many." I'm fixing to say something real big, and I want you to catch this. I'm telling you, this is about as big as it can get. I'm saying it's real big. He said, "They're forgiven." That means from black as coal to white as snow. Those sins cast as far as the east is from the west. They're cast into the depths of the sea to be remembered no more. I'm going to tell you, it's a big thing tonight to know that your sins are forgiven. Brother Tom, don't you know that when she came in there behind the Lord Jesus Christ, she couldn't face him face to face because of the guilt? I'm going to tell you something. Guilt can be burdensome. It can be overwhelming. It can consume your mind living with guilt. But that day, and I liken it to the night that I got saved by the grace of God, that I went down a sinner and prayed and cried out to God and stood up and felt like the entire world lifted off my shoulders. And it's called forgiveness. forgiven. That's a big thing to me. You ask me why I'm happy, so I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary. Praise God, my sins are gone. Boy, there was some murmuring went around underneath, around that table there when he said that thy sins are forgiven. Said, who is this? It says he can forgive sins. And Jesus turned and looked at her. And oh, this is a good part. Saith unto the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Go in peace. Jesus said, my peace I give unto thee, not as the world give, but give I unto thee. When I go home tonight, by the grace of God, I'll be able to lay my head on my pillow and go to sleep in peace. And somebody here tonight, you're squirming and you can't hardly stand it because you have no peace. You might be like the Pharisee. You've been trying to do better, do good, and say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to straighten up my life. Listen, you better forget it, old boy or old young lady, of trying to straighten your life up. I tried it, didn't work. My wife got saved a year before I did. I went to a church service, went down to the altar. I don't remember anything I prayed, but I left there trying to straighten my life up. I didn't get saved. Oh, but you was at the altar. That didn't matter. My heart wasn't right. I went back and tried to straighten up, quit some of the things I was doing, and tried to straighten. It wasn't long till I was right back there doing the same thing. You can put lipstick on a pig, but it's still a pig. Had somebody who one time said there's a big old place there on the wall. And I said, boy, that needs to be primed before it's time. I'll just paint over it. I done what they said, and it wasn't long till that old stain bled right back through the paint. I'm going to tell you something. When the blood of Jesus Christ contacts your soul and you're forgiven of your sins, and listen, you go in peace, nothing will ever stain back through. Not to God. Now the devil tries to bring them back to you. The Bible said that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from A-L-L, all sin. You can do all you want to. That's what the Pharisees did. Why, they'd dress themselves up and they'd stand on the street corners and they would pray the most holiest prayers because they wanted everybody to think they were right. That they were doing the right thing. I was going to close with something else tonight, but I'm not going to do that. It's time for me to stop. I just want to say to you tonight, if you're sitting here, don't matter if you're a member of this church. Don't matter if everybody in this church thinks you've been saved 20, 30, 40, 50 years. And you don't know what forgiveness is, and you don't know what peace is. There's only one author to every bit of that. And his name is Jesus Christ. And he paid the price for every one of us. Amen. Preacher Lawson, I remember years ago, hadn't been saved too awfully long, but I'd been saved in the Army and then got out of the Army, ETS, got back home. And I'd driving down the street and there was some poor old drunks that was laying over in the ditch. Just throwing up, wallowing old dirty, nasty clothes. And I looked at them and I said, my goodness, why don't they just get up out of the ditch? And the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, wait a minute. That could have been you. I didn't say that no more. It could have been or more. You can leave here tonight forgiven totally of every single sin that you've ever committed in your life and have peace in your heart. All you have to do is come to Him. Just like this woman did. You may feel like that publican and not even worthy to even lift your eyes up unto heaven and smote himself upon the breast. You're in the right place to get right with God if that's the way you feel. If you feel like that everything's all right, you can just stick your hands in your pocket. I'm going to march forward. I'm doing okay. I remember testifying to a fellow witness and to a guy one time. I said, I asked him, are you saved? And he said, what do you mean? I said, we're all sinners and we all need to be saved. And he said, I don't have anything to be saved from. He said, I take care of my wife. I take care of my children. I pay my bills on time. I work. I do all this. Well, that's the problem. I do, I do, I do, I do. You got to turn loose of I do and let Him. We all need to be saved. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've inherited by birth. My daddy was a sinner, his daddy was a sinner, and his daddy before that was a sinner, all the way back to Adam. If you need to get saved tonight, tonight would be a good night. Be a good night. Let's bow our heads and pray. Brother Lawson will come and Brother Barry will get an invitation for just a minute, if that's all right with the preacher. Lord, I've delivered my heart and my soul tonight. You told me when I come in tonight, and I bowed and prayed at home, you just said, trust me. Trust me, and I've trusted you, Lord. And I'm going to still keep trusting you. Lord, if there's anybody here tonight that's unsaved, God, don't let them leave here tonight without getting saved. I pray, Lord, that you'd trouble them so much that they can hardly even stand it. They're overwhelmed. God, don't let them walk out of here lost tonight. Let them come. If you're speaking to their hearts and you're drawing them to the Father tonight, I know you won't turn them away. I pray, God, that you'd give them the grace to just take that step and come on and get right with you tonight. I know that you'll honor your word. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Lawson.